I have firmly stood my ground and said it doesn't apply to us. And it hasn't made any damn difference because I've never had anybody push the issue, sue us. I've had a couple times over 30 years a letter or something from the Attorney General's office. I've personally talked to the Attorney General when that happened, told them what we do. They said that's just fine. So the billing companies are going to be, especially since the credit crisis and so forth, are going to be hypersensitive to whatever legal environment is out there. And in pretty much everybody's case in the room, I'm not telling you to ignore a law, but if you haven't read the law, you don't know what it says. And when I'm on the phone with anybody who says, I can't do that in my state, there's this new thing called Google. And I can, within 30 seconds, find their law, find the paragraph, and read it. And I got to tell you, some of them are written really bad. But I typically come to the conclusion myself that if it doesn't say martial arts instruction, then it doesn't mean us, right? If it says fitness centers, who in here is a fitness center? I don't think we're fitness centers, right? We're a school for martial arts instruction. So most of the regulation, and without being too much of an academic nerd, all this regulation came out of hearings that happened at the Federal Trade Commission in, I can tell you when it was, 1981, 1980, 1982, because it was when I was at Georgetown University. And we did a special policy class at the Federal Trade Commission, and I discovered they were having hearings on health clubs. And in the hearings on health clubs, they subpoenaed all the internal documents of all the major health club chains and a few martial arts schools as well. And I then found out that I had access to all the internal documents of every major fitness chain in the country for the price of a nickel a copy on the copy machine. So I could go down to the Federal Trade Commission, which I did for about 3 months, and ask for the different documents that they had requisitioned, and anything that was cool and interesting, like the sales manager's training manual, the regional training manual, the internal documents on how they were doing, I made copies of. And when I moved to Denver, I had a five-drawer file cabinet that was full of stuff from the Federal Trade Commission hearings that I had taken with me because it was so valuable, right? And what the Federal Trade Commission hearings mostly were about and the conclusions were is the big problem was there were people who intentionally or not went and did big pre-sales on health clubs and then never opened the doors. And there was a bunch of that going on. Okay, there was a very high profile case in Denver, actually. And so now they put the trailer out front. They've rented the space, and they're showing everybody the blueprints and everything, and did $5 million, $10 million, a huge amount of money. And the strategy was, I'm going to open a health club, so I'm going to go do $5 million, and I'm going to use the $5 million to build out the health club. And if they never hit their number they needed to build out, it all went bust. And a couple of them did the $5 or $10 million, loaded it up in $100 bills in the trunk of a Ferrari, and drove to the next state, right? So that's what the biggest part of the thing was. The second part was about how would I say this? The second part of it was about signing people up to unnecessarily long contracts and then doing bait and switch on them. And so there was a couple of things. But if you look at, which I've looked at most of the states, including Florida, but I don't remember what it says. If you look at most of the state statutes, they were pulled out of the Federal Trade Commission conclusions. Some of them included martial arts schools. Some of them did not include martial arts schools. Some of them included dance and gymnastics and a whole bunch of other things. When I looked at Chester's legalities, in their case, it says specifically martial arts, and it says 36 months. But you can get around the 36 months by you do a 36-month agreement, and then it automatically renews for 36 months, or you do an agreement to second-degree black belt, but they pay true black belt, and then they get the next 3 years free, all of that kind of stuff. Now, none of this conversation is I don't mean to imply the best approach is sign them contractually to 7 years. Well, that's what we've done for years, which is we've signed them directly to second-degree black belt. But before you jump to a conclusion that the billing company said or that there's a legality, it's better to look at it and make a decision. And like in Colorado, I've run it by two or three lawyers and sat down with my own lawyer, and the best legal advice they can give me is they don't know because it doesn't say. And ASF claims, and I pissed them off. I had a kind of a yelling match with their guy at one time, and I said, look, it doesn't say martial arts schools, and there's been no legal adjudication one way or the other. Nobody has forced the issue. And I've done 30,000 plus students over 25 years and 30 years now, and it never came up. It was never an issue. So why are you making it an issue, right? To the point, I almost pulled everything from them at the time because I was just annoyed with. Because what was happening is a student would call on the phone and they would tell them. They would say, well, we can't enforce your contract anyway. It's automatically void under state law. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? But that having been said, see, the first thing I'm missing here is, shouldn't some of it be about your training a black belt? And if black belt is 4.5 years, why is the renewal 36 months? And if the only reason is it's the legality, why not make it, it's 36 months and then an automatic renewal, or 36 months and a guaranteed price, or when you pay for 36 months, it's paid in full to first degree black belt. Why not have that be part of the conversation, right? And see, there's three different ways. If the law is, in fact, there's no way you can enforce a contract for more than 36 months, you can give them free lessons. Nobody's saying you can't give them free lessons. So you can set a price for 36 months, and then they're already paid in full for 4 years. That's a way to accelerate the payments.
And you charge more.
Oh yeah, you don't charge this. But yeah, you roll in all the price, figure out what that would be, and then charge more. And then you can say that's the equivalent of actually paying $260 a month, or that's the equivalent of paying, $125 every 2 weeks or whatever. But it's paid for in 36 months. And then you're free until you get your first degree black belt, right? So that makes the presentation easier. Does that make sense? Because it's goal-oriented, right? And the first thing I don't like is I don't like that it's just about you pay an extra amount of money to get more stuff. Because ultimately I want it to be you're making a commitment, we're making a commitment to get you to a certain point and then continue on by that. And then and you want it to be outcome-based. So instead of it's I get to learn 10 weapons, it's I'm going to accomplish this in my life as a result of martial arts, and there's an enhanced level of accomplishment, or there's a more limited level of accomplishment. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, sir.
So the first thing I would do is, and with the Model High Christ Schools, we're using the same nomenclature, masters and leadership. I don't like it. I like Black Belt Club and leadership, but we had Black Belt Club and then added Master Club, then added leadership, and then got rid of Black Belt Club.
That's what we did.
And all the support materials that we have online and everything for you is in Black Belt Club leadership skills. Is everybody using all that leadership material, by the way?
Yes.
It's really good. Who's using it? Is it good stuff?
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. I mean, there's thousands of hours into that. I mean, it was a whole bunch of people sweating bullets to get that done, and me yelling at them.
Thing that's most impressive, every one of the months can lead into so much more material.
Yeah.
Basically, it sets this decipher the month.
You bet.
You can add whatever material you want to.
Right.
To it, and it really enriches the program.
Yeah, it doesn't handcuff you in any way. Because you can add as much support material as you want to it, right?
We found that the integration of the weekly e-newsletter that goes out to all the students,
right,
is basically it's a print newsletter that we do, and each week it corresponds with what they have in their email inbox. So oftentimes they'll train in class, have the message of the week, only to go open their email later on that week or that weekend, and it just jives with the same experience. It's very consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. And the it's a sh- I mean you're all paying for all this stuff anyway, you might as well use it. So but does everybody see what my first point is? I mean, the premise of Masters or Black Belt Club, whatever, certainly should be a get you to black belt, or you know, if you're set on black belt being 9 years, it should be a significant achievement on the way to black belt, right? So it could be a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu purple belt, and then the renewal could be a black belt, right?
I would add on to what you said a minute ago that it should be outcome-based.
Yeah.
Sometimes the outcome is black belt, but the outcome, it should also be feature.
Right, black belt is not an outcome.
Yeah,
right.
It should
benefit.
Be benefits. You have to emphasize benefits, not features. And almost all the time, in almost every case, when we look at your sales material, sometimes we ask, like, hey, can we see your...
It's all features.
Presenting? It ends up being all feature-based. Or the other flip side is only benefit-based and there's no feature support. So it'd be like, you know, you're selling a car. The Ferrari isn't cool because, you know, it's got 12.3 centimeter cylinders and 14 inches of this and 15 inches of that, and it's made of an aluminum alloy that's blah, 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 heat resistant to something. It's cool. It goes really fast, or it looks really good. And what's that going to do for you?
Because wait,
pick up chicks.
No. You're not into sports cars.
You explain that. But it should be benefit-oriented.
Sports cars are about sex on both sides. They're about testosterone and attraction, and they're about fun. And most people who own fast cars are older, so therefore it's a psychological way to still feel like their testosterone is high and their machismo one thing or another.
It's why
99.9% of Porsche 911 sales are to men. And the only damn Porsche that they sell to women is the SUV.
Yeah,
sure, I'm dead serious about all that. What?
You want to explain this because you just bought the AMG.
No, I mean I'm serious. I mean from a marketing standpoint, right?
Yeah.
Here's a movie recommendation for everybody. I mean it's an old one. You have to go to Amazon. Go get Crazy People. Has anybody seen the movie Crazy People?
Yes.
Okay, you remember what it was? Crazy People is Dudley Moore, and he's a Manhattan, what's the street that they're on?
Madison.
He's a Madison Avenue high-powered ad executive who one day comes home and his wife has left him and his house is empty and devoid of furniture and she even took the dog and the cat, right? And he has a nervous breakdown. And so then he goes in and he writes all these advertisements, but he has decided after the nervous breakdown to just tell the truth, right? And the results are hysterical. And then what happens is he brings in the ad campaigns that he thinks and everybody freaks out, and then he does the campaigns that they want to see, but then they commit him to the insane asylum and to go get therapy. And then they end up running the ads that he wanted to run rather than the ones he did by mistake. And sales go through the roof, right? And it's a really, really good movie. So, you know, and in it there's, you know, a love story built in with Daryl Hannah and all kinds of stuff. But really it's the, if you go get the point of the advertising, the point is made pretty well. What the reality is of a lot of that. I won't tell you the two best ads that I said because it's a mixed company. It wouldn't work very well. Let's just say they have one for... At the time, I had a Jaguar XK8 and a Porsche 911, and in the movie, they have an ad for Jaguar XK8 and Porsche 911, which corresponds to what I just said.
And the Volvo, too.
What's that?
Volvo too.
They did have a Volvo. That's right. All of the cars that I have, they had that. But Volvo, I could say it was boxy but good. That one wasn't very entertaining. But anyway, so is this making sense to begin with? So when you have some regulatory issue, just run it by me. I'm not claiming to be an attorney, but you can structure it so you're completely by the letter of the law legal, and you're completely ethical with the students, and at the same time, you can accomplish pretty much whatever you're trying to accomplish with rare exceptions, right? And, you know, some of the worst ones have been California and British Columbia, used to be, and I'm trying to remember a few of the others, but there's no limitation here of, you know, let's make it. And Jen, the first thing I would say is I would have this, the option A, option B, and you're doing them at white belt. And so option A is Master's Club, option B is leadership, and we know what all of the expanded product is for leadership, right? So even though you have all this other stuff, that's not the benefit statement. And the having the extra class is fine, it's cool, but it's not the benefit, right? Being able to come to the extra class we do once a week on Sunday, I mean, you know, we've always done the same thing, and across multiple schools, we go run a high school gym and have a special leadership class every month or every other month. But really the benefit is the outcome, is what he was saying, it's the benefits. So you've got to build that into the system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, everything in your curriculum and everything you do you should be able to state why that's good for them.
Right.
I mean, who's that Jim Rohn, right?
Yep.
South of Kennedy thing. The reason people achieve goals, the reason people get engaged in getting a goal is because of the why of the goal, not just the plan, the step-by-step option. So,
yeah.
You know, we need to make sure every single thing that you have in there is related to some reason why they should do it.
And as a support tool for language and so forth, Jim Rohn's stuff is great. I mean, sadly he passed away as well, but his family is continuing the jimrohn.com and so forth.
Wasn't he mentoring Tony Robbins?
Yeah.
Jim Rohn.
Well, that's how Tony Robbins got started.
Right.
Yeah.
Is Tony Robbins got started by being one of the traveling salesmen for Jim Rohn seminars.
Right.
So Tony would go into Dallas and he would go give presentations for all the real estate offices and one thing or another and sell tickets to Jim Rohn. And he then did a nutrition, the Diamonds, I think. He did a nutrition thing. He was doing the same thing. Tony Robbins often gives credit to Jim Rohn. When he gives credit to Jim Rohn for a lot of the mentoring. That was before he did all the NLP training stuff, right? But and when he really took off, it was teaching NLP concepts on a broader scale. And he's the only one that's ever been able to take neurolinguistic programming and get it out to the masses. So anyway, but is this making sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have this structure already, the Jan's question is what's next, right? What would you layer in on top of that? And you're tentatively calling it leadership elite, right? Who has an idea?
Instructor training.
Yeah. Well, if I was going to do leadership elite, it's $1,000 a month program. That's what I would do. I'll say it two ways. My preferred approach would be option A. This is what we do with the franchises. Is option A and option B, and if you're preferred, this takes you to black belt, this takes you to second degree black belt. Okay? Now we have to figure out how to structure that, right? And again, you know, I don't mind at all that it's, you know, it's ultimately a 6-year commitment, but at 3 years when you get your black belt, you can cancel at that point if you want or something like that. You know, I'm not concerned with legally obligating them to a payment. I'm more concerned with having a conversation where psychologically they're committed to an outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So a lot of people hear that and they say, well, you're just trying to get them to sign a contract and force them. Well, you're never going to force them anyway, and when they quit, they quit. And you know, that's not the deal.
And I would add on to that that then I only have to have the conversation once.
Exactly.
I don't have to, you know, I've talked to a lot of people and they say, oh, well, we'll do a 12-month contract because it's easier. No, it's harder because I have to talk to them every year about the stupid thing. I have to keep track of that. I have to. You know, it becomes a yes or no thing every year, and it's
well. And every time you have ask them to make a decision, some portion of them are going to say no. Right? I mean, if the decision is they've got to decide to cancel it within a certain parameters, you're going to get less of them that cancel than if you say, yes or no, would you like to do another year, right? So, and it gets you out of having the conversation.
Yeah, it's less salesy to ask them for money less. It's more salesy to ask them for money more.
And that's in every component. The less often you can have them pay for something, the better off it is. It's, again, I mean, it's a silly point, but it's why I don't like pro shops, right? I mean, even stupid things like mouthpieces. We used to have, you know, seemed like every third class the kids would come without mouthpieces, and, you know, one of the guys said, well, we can make more money on mouthpieces. I said, no, let's get the football ones that attach to their helmet. And then when even that didn't work, I started buying 1,000 at a time, and it was costing me 42 cents. And the deal was, you know, they buy the package, and then from now on we give them a mouthpiece. Because I don't want the $2. You know, I don't want mom at the table trying to give me money. I just want the renewal, right? And the other thing on the retail thing is my visual, this is a true story, is I'm up at the front counter with Mrs. Jones, who's a little anal retentive, who wants to try 3 different pair of foot pads on and make sure it's exactly right, and I'm trying to explain to her it should be too big, while my $15,000 renewal walked out the door, right? And if you don't get them today, there's always a hailstorm that then they have to, you know, fix the kitchen. So as long as they're going to fix the kitchen, they're going to do granite and zero Halliburton, not zero Halliburton, sub-zero in the kitchen, and the renewal money just got spent on the kitchen. Because my renewal money has been spent on a Harley, it's been spent on a Trans Am Ram Air, it's been spent on granite countertops in the kitchen, and it's been spent at Disney, because they didn't pay me that day and it went to the next week, right? Mm-hmm. So you've always got to be aware of that. But
you know, I'm having trouble figuring out, and I'm sure you've explained it to me before, but you know, I think Jan has her set up, and I still don't understand your length of time and your upgrade from there, because I just have black belt leadership without the fallback, okay?
Right.
And is it more time to get the more money with the fallback of a price by paying out early to get to that length of time? By going back to I'm the reverse black belt leadership master as well.
Okay. I like it to be at white belt in that first 8 lessons or first 16 lessons. I'm renewing your commitment and sending your commitment to get to black belt.
Right.
Then there's 2 options. There's leadership or black belt club, or in this case, master's club. Right?
Okay.
And the only logic I have for it that is important not to lose is if you push the price point to leadership high enough, I want to have a fallback position where I don't price them too far out of the market for everybody, right? And again, I'll use Sterling's stats, but Sterling's stats has been very consistently 87% more or less of everybody who enrolls renews. 90% of them go to the more expensive, higher level program, okay? So 87% of every new enrollment, and it's 90-10 about whether they renew or not.
So my question with that is, and I get that, is that higher program, is that just the black belt?
Is it a good time to take another restroom break?
Why don't we
do 5 minutes? 5 minutes. And our mission here is we're going to, as soon as we come back, is we're A to Z renewal blitz. And we're wrapping about 3. Okay?
So we're not going to do a lunch break.
We're just going to power through to 3, yeah. Which, amazingly, we've stayed on schedule, and it's actually matched the one I put out a month ago and 2 weeks ago. And how often does that happen, Carol? Is this helpful?
Yeah.
You get a lot of good stuff?
We didn't actually get to see each other.
Okay. We met on the bus.
Yes.
I don't want to hear it.
Probably me.
You're logging into the Wi-Fi right now? How old are you?
26.
There you go.
I've also got a phone in Canada.
Yeah, that's nice.
My dad and I both found
Museum gift shop.
And his shirt is nice too.
Now, did you put in the Wi-Fi back to
I'm well? Guessing.
Didn't have the problem.
No,
not
just got the air.
Yeah, let it obtain the actual address, all that kind of stuff. Let it, it'll get to a point where it says connected or something like that. But then you'll actually have to open an internet window.
Yeah, we are.
It doesn't be Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. There you go.
So you're planning on buying me a gift shop?
I have to call.
Your small talk is how you do it. Make a good point. Large amount in the morning. Just got to go back and buy that clothes. I don't think I'm going to get out of that job. A photo of $2. I was planning on stopping at McDonald's and got one large. I don't know what I got. It didn't work out. So, plan B. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get going again here.
It's true.
Yeah, but Eric, just ping me. I get back Monday night. So just ping me Monday night. And that's still running. Is the video camera good? Yeah, we're going to end up with a lot of dead air on both of these. What was it on Friday? I kept remembering to turn it off right at the end of the break and then forgetting to turn it back on again. Yeah, yeah. And this is really the important one because this is going to get us good audio. That one hopefully comes out. Has anybody watched the videos of the boot camp online? Was it easy enough to understand and so? Okay, so the audio in that one came out pretty well. This one I'm skeptical about because it's sitting right there next to all that noise. So we shall see. I think that the audio on the video will come out great from yesterday with Commissioner Carrick. I'm skeptical about today, but we'll see. This one's always going to come out well. I mean, you could record the Rolling Stones and have something that was almost publishable on iTunes with this thing. It's amazing. And by the way, if you're doing much audiovisual for your schools, all this stuff... Have a good one, you guys. All this stuff anymore, you can pick this stuff up so cheap, it's ridiculous. You know, that video camera, I picked up at Best Buy on closeout for like $250. And we have over $100,000 worth of audio video gear that's sitting in the warehouse and sitting in my office at the house. And that's just good enough for any of this kind of stuff that we're doing. And this is probably $400. But that's as good an audio recording as you're ever going to need for anything that we're ever going to do. So I got to tell you, the old days, some of our old infomercials, they were shot on $80,000 beta cams and edited on, you know, $1,500 an hour editing suites, you know, on Ovid editing equipment. And now with a MacBook Pro and Final Cut Pro, you can do a better job than any of that stuff. So it is one of the places where technology has helped us a lot. Any questions or thoughts on this before we move on? Or we're not going to move on. We're going to stay on the topic, but about her structure or what that looks like. You know, again, Jan loves the every other month billing. I mean, the every other week billing. And again, that came out of Australia and New Zealand. And they're used to, it's it's $100 every fortnight. The fortnight's 2 weeks. So they're used to that. I don't think Americans are used to it. However, you know, she hasn't had any problem with it. I do think it's nice to have a lower number to present. And so, you know, if I was charging $500 a month, would it help to say it's $124 a week? Maybe. You know, it takes the steam out of it. The Glazer-Kennedy argument was, I don't want to be showing up on their credit card statement that often. And I see that logic. Although, in practical terms, a lot of the times that we squirrel around with the agreement, it's because they want to set up something like that. I get paid the 1st and 15th, can you split up the payment? I get paid weekly, can you split up the payment? It's a divorce situation. One of them wants on this day, once on this day. So there may be some logic in doing that. Again, I'm not against it. I'm just kind of agnostic on that.
15th wouldn't be the same as what Jan's doing.
No, it's every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks, yeah. The big day.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you do it though? When you can get a whole, if your billing check is say $40,000 a month, $30,000 a month, you're going to get a whole extra billing check a year with no extra work at all. So why wouldn't you even consider it?
I think all of this is logical. Everything in either direction is to make the case either way. What we really don't know, maybe I'm being too much, you know, academic about this, but to me, I think we really just don't know. Like, Kennedy's argument would be you would have a higher cancel rate because they see your, well, yeah, but you're not comparing it side by side in the same time frame with the same people. So to do the real test, if you ran half of your students one way and half of your students the other way, everything else is exactly the same, the then you can tell, like, side by side.
Well,
I have my and
for the PhD nerd back there, that would be too small of sample to really.
No, not over the long term.
Yeah.
We can argue that one later. But,
yeah, okay.
But you have your retention, you feel like it's better or worse or about the same.
I feel like it's better now. It's, in 2013, it was 3%. But back in previous years, it was higher. It was up as high as 5% for a while.
You know, there's other stuff going on. I mean, I understand.
Probably, yeah.
I don't think it hurts to try it. I don't think we've conclusively made a case either way.
So here's the ultimate bottom line, I guess. Presenting a renewal for $350 a month is the same as presenting it as $161 every 2 weeks. In terms of what you end up with, right? And the student is going to look at that and say $320 a month. And in reality, if they do that math in their head, and in reality it's $350 a month. So it's although she has trouble charging good prices, she doesn't have any problem with inflating the tuition by
8%.
Inflating it by 8% for presentation purposes. And so, but that's ultimately the difference. It's adding under 10%, so about 8% a month to the billing, right? Ultimately, at the end of the year, you know, if you're grossing 300, it adds, assuming the sale is just as easy, what do we come up with? 8%, 300,000, so 48,000. 48.
We get extra month payment. That's what you get. Extra month payment.
No, you're right. 24.
24.
24. I'm sorry. Yeah. For some reason, I was trying to double it. So yeah, 24,000. But the big issue is it easier to present this than to present this? And then are there anybody that after you presented this are annoyed that on March I got billed three times?
Yes, we've had people annoyed.
Yeah.
Even though we've told them, but it's far and few in between because we're very clear.
Right.
You have to be very clear or they'll be really upset.
Yeah. Well, when they get hit three times a month.
Every 2 weeks. Okay. So we have to tell them there are some months that you will get three payments in that month, so be prepared for that.
You know, if I wasn't paying real close attention, you said that, I'd hear first and 15th. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the problem is, if in month one or two, they got hit three times, that would be the worst case. If it was later on and they really liked you and it was a big deal, and you said, hey, I explained that to you, you know, 6 months ago, then, oh, you did. Okay, I get it. And then they'd probably be okay. But I wouldn't want it to be this month.
Right.
It's not a problem. It happens a lot. And like, okay, say if it's I'm enrolling you this month and it's a three bill month, I tell
you. Use that as an example.
I say, for example, well, see, you will be billed.
But the good news is we've got her charging decent numbers now, finally, anyway. So then she's
been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because these prices aren't her prices. These prices are the new spreadsheet that's in her computer.
But so I do raise them on the hand.
Yeah. These really aren't her prices because she hasn't actually asked anybody for them yet, but they're in the computer.
That's gonna happen Monday, though, right?
So that's a good start. Okay. Now, so the other side of this thing, if I can get this one to work, is just the whole concept of massive renewal blitz. Okay. And the what did we conclude that Saturday? Is the 20th before Christmas? Is that right?
Yes.
So December 20th. And so let's say that I'm going to launch this, given the timeline right now, on November 1st, which is, by the way I've done it for like 30 years and very successfully. So December 1st, I'm going to launch.
November
1st, I'm sorry. And so week one ends on the 8th of November. Week two ends on the 15th of November. Week three ends on the 22nd of November. Thanksgiving is what day? Is that the 27th?
27th.
Okay. And then week next ends on the 29th. And then I'm into December. And so December I have the 6th, 13th, and the 20th, and then I'm done, right? So now I'm going into Christmas. From a multi-school perspective, I was always selling this to the staff from two standpoints. Would you rather go into the holidays with a week and a half or 2 weeks off and a lot of money in your pocket? Or would you rather work the holidays and be relatively broke? Show of hands. Money in your pocket, have the 10 days off, okay. Relatively broke and be in the school on December 24th until 5, and then, right? I mean, that was the option. And so from a staff standpoint, I was always doing two levels of bonuses. Bonus number one was time off, and bonus number two was cash and or prizes, right? Prizes included laptop, Rolex watch, a bunch of things. And one of the internal pieces of culture was hitting numbers where they could get a Rolex, right? And if somebody had already gotten, say, a solid gold Rolex Explorer, then the goal would be they can trade it in for a two-tone Submariner or whatever, right? So now, how big of numbers did they have to hit to win a Rolex? It's big numbers, right? And I freely admit I stole that from Domino's Pizza. That's the Domino's Pizza thing. I ran into a guy at an airport one time, and he had a stainless steel watch that was a Rolex with a Domino's Pizza logo on the face. I was like, a Rolex with a Domino's Pizza logo? What the hell is that all about? Right? But what it was is a branch manager, when they hit a new all-time record for the location, that was the price, right? And by the way, the advantage of something like that they wear around proudly is that it's still floating on their wrist in February, March, April, May, and it's still visible. And one of the things I used to do is we had certificates. I mean, big certificates like a black belt diploma, all-time record-breaking performance. And then we would have, when we started this, what the all-time one-day cash record was, what the all-time weekend cash record was, what the all-time one-month cash record was, what the all-time record was for the renewal blitz, what the all-time location was for their location, right? And so anytime they broke a new record, you know, we'd all dance up and down and cheer and stuff and give them a big certificate and make a big deal about it. Does that make sense? And I could go on and on about the staff piece of it, and if it's useful, we'll hit all that. But see, now what do I have? I have essentially 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 weeks. This week is Thursday is Thanksgiving. So if I'm doing it right, really what I have is I have Monday through Wednesday. Part of what I would always do with the staff is if by this point you're at a certain number, you have Thursday through Sunday off and we're back on it on Monday. And if you don't, we're working on Friday, Saturday because we need to do more renewals, right? Greg Silva years ago when he was running school in Coral Springs, there's a variety of things, but Greg's biggest renewal day of the year was always Thanksgiving Day because he'd go in and work all day on Thanksgiving and do renewals. I always gave him a hard time about that because I said, you can't get them damn done any other day. Why are you working Thanksgiving, right? But again, so now what we have is, let's take a look at the calendar again. If you have a calendar, look at it. What we have is this. Is if I start on the 20th, and I'm going to go Saturday through Monday, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Is that right? No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12, 18, 19, 20, 21, 27, 35, 33, and then 39. So we have 39 business days. Okay? And up to Thanksgiving, we have 6, 12, 13, 14, 15, actually 16 business days. This is 40. And we have 16 business days here. And then we have whatever the balance would be, 24 business days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Does everybody understand so far while I'm doing that? Well, if we're going to hit big numbers, we've got to have a daily goal, a weekly goal, a monthly goal. We've got to have a goal that we're going to hit before Thanksgiving, right? I mean, we've got to really break it down. Because here's what will happen. If you don't have that, you'll hit nothing, 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 big results. And you'll do like a third of what you would have done otherwise. And it'll all be pushed into close to the deadline. Does that make sense? Okay. So I'll go back over here. So now, somebody give me a number of how many current students you have that are not on leadership. Greg, what was your number? Well, 200 because you don't have leadership.
Well, this is perfect because we launched it in our first team. So.
Exactly. Okay. So let's take his number. He's got 200 students. He's had Black Belt Club and Basic, but hasn't had leadership, right? And we can go through and figure out what the price point should be. What are they paying for Black Belt Club right now?
$259.
And he has approximately 150 people that are Black Belt Club and approximately 50 people who are on Basic, right?
Correct.
Okay. And so they're currently paying $259. $259 is an enrollment for how long?
48 months.
48?
Total.
From when they started. Okay. So, are you comfortable with leadership taking them to second degree black belt?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, we're going to have leadership in his case take them to second degree black belt. Okay. Now, let's. We have to make some assumptions here. So, let's say that my leadership program is eventually going to be $497 a month. Okay? Assuming that I'm orange belt or above. Okay? And what we want to do right now is we want to give them a huge discount. So the huge discount is going to be only $347 a month. So therefore, it's $150 a month savings, which for 30 plus 30 months, let's say on average, so 60 months times 150, that's $9,000. And to make it simple, I'm not counting what the down payment's going to be, all that stuff, but just to make it simple, okay? So it's a $9,000 savings if any of these students renew before December 20th. And after December 20th, it's going to be dramatically more. Right? Does that make sense? So now what we're going to do is the down payment is going to be, what are you comfortable with, Greg?
580.
Okay. So the down payment is going to be 580, and the monthly is going to be 347, right? Now, normally we would be doing leadership. They get the blue top, whatever they're wearing now. If you renew the leadership before Thanksgiving, that's a $100 value. We're going to throw that in, so it's a nice heavy top. Then it's embroidered and so forth. So if you renew before Thanksgiving, you get the free top. So part of what we'll be pitching is we have 25 free tops, and now 24, and now it's 21, and now it's 19, and now it's 18. Why are we doing that whole countdown and everything?
Scarcity.
Scarcity and bandwagon at the same time, right? So your scarcity of, oh, I got to hurry and get it before it goes away, and bandwagon because all of a sudden a whole bunch of people are doing it, right? And see, the worst thing you can do with launching a new program is not get a whole bunch of people in the new program. Right? Greg, you don't really have any black belts other than a few staff right now, right?
Correct.
What's the highest rank you have?
Second. Second degree.
No, I mean students.
Oh,
Brown? How many brown belts?
We have three.
Three brown belts? How about a step below that?
Red.
How many do you have approximately?
Two.
Two? Okay. So now you've got red, brown, and black. What first thing I would do is I would grandfather them all into the leadership program at some trivial price. Right?
Good question, because considering I launched Black Hawk Club 6 months ago,
yeah,
all of those renewals have been within the last 7 months.
Yeah. So yeah, no problem. Okay. But with these guys, now you are going to be renewing them to second degree black belt, right? So what you could do with them is basically renew them to second degree black belt at the same price they're paying for first degree, but automatically move them into the leadership program.
Okay.
The reason I want to do that is I want to get visibility. There's a whole bunch of people doing it. And I want to get them all excited about the new thing and all the cool stuff they're going to get. It's not going to cost them anymore, all that stuff. And if they're currently paying $259 a month, they just keep paying $259 a month for a longer period of time. Right? Does that make sense?
By the deadline.
Well, right. Well, as long as they do it like right to hell now. I mean, I've done this where I bring them all in, tell them about the deal and say, by Monday, here's the deal. Because really, I'm going to give you the thing that everybody else is paying for free. But we got to get you in the new deal. And if there's a new top, put them in the new top. If there's a patch, give them a certificate, all the stuff. Make a big deal about it to everybody else, right? And you may even decide to chunk it down to a notch or two below, right? In the scheme of the numbers, it's not going to make much difference, right? And the harder ones to get to pay the real price are these high-level people in England. No matter how nice they are and how loyal, that they're the harder ones to do it, right?
Well, my thought is it's going to be harder for the ones that I just renewed 2 months ago.
I doubt it. I think it's probably the opposite. It's harder to get the red and brown belts, the ones that are further in the program to do it. The ones that just renewed are just are already excited. Unless you maxed out what they could do then it's really not that big a deal, right? And in fact, if you had asked them for another $100 a month when you did them, most of them would have done it anyway. Okay. Anchor that in, by the way. So does everybody see what we're doing? So to decide the right break point, but take some layer of this, and of course your staff, you're going to put them in whatever, and they're doing it anyway. But take whatever the right break point is without breaking the bank, and just grandfather them in so you have some momentum, right? And again, grandfather them in this case, you're adding to time, so you don't have to do it for free, but do it at like what they're already used to paying for Black Belt Club, but they get leadership, right? And you really don't have to swear them to secrecy, but you don't want them going around and saying, hey, if you renew the leader, right? I mean, don't let them do that. Is this making sense so far to everybody? Okay, now let's go back to the numbers. So let's say that we just lopped off 15 of these. Is that probably about right? Maybe a little high? Okay, so now I have 135. The 135 are going to either pay 580 down plus a bump in their payment of $100, more or less, right? So I guess it's actually 90. So we're going to bump the payment by 90. And I would just as soon make this, by the way, if you're doing 249 now, make this 359, right? So, just an even $100. Not just to make it easy for me to calculate, but it's easy to present, okay? So I've got a $100 bump in the payment. Everybody understands why I'm putting that number down, not that number down, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? All I care about is what this is going to do to affect the revenue, not what their actual payment is going to be. Because if they're paying $259 now, and now the payment is $359, I'm not gaining $359, right? And in fact, if they're paying $259 now and I cash them out, I'm losing $259, right? So what we want to do is have the net of that. Okay, so I've got $580 down, $100 a month. Or I've got it paid in full, right? So I'm going to guesstimate the average pay in full is 4 years. That'll be conservative, right? So if it's 4 years at $359 a month, So 359 times, whoops, 359 times, clear, 48 months plus 580. That means I've got a total of 17.8. Okay, that's 359, 48 months plus the down payment. At any point, if anybody's not following what I'm doing, just stop me.
Do you give a discount if they pay in full?
Yep. So we're going to say paid in full is 1248. 480.
What's that, 30?
30% off the top. Okay. That's a big cash discount, right? But it allows me to honestly and ethically say the discount is the equivalent of 8% APR plus an additional 10%. And therefore, I get some of them pieced together on the credit card or something like that rather than just paying it monthly. Okay? And everybody knowing what you know about attrition rate, are you better? Here's how I set the cash price. I always make an informed decision on if they do this or they do this, I have essentially the same outcome. Does everybody know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to mortgage the future to get this. However, I know there's an attrition rate. And if there's only a 3% attrition rate, that means by the end of the first year, it's almost 40% are gone. And not a lot of people are going to pay that amount of money for another 2 or 3 years if they're not using the lessons, right? So when you look at it, I'm going to be either equal with either one of those or I'm going to be a little bit better with that. Does that make sense? But I would never do it where, by looking at it realistically, I'm really mortgaging the future, getting the cash deal, unless I had some kind of desperate situation where all kinds of bad things were going to happen if I didn't, you know, do it, right? So, and if that's the case, by the way, this is the easiest way to pull in a bunch of cash. Much easier than go borrowing it, much easier to go get some investors. Hey, there's that 40 or 50 million dollar yacht that we saw yesterday again. Wonder what that thing's worth. That's a hell of a nice yacht. I was down in Fort Lauderdale one time when Malcolm Forbes' yacht was there. Another time when before he died, obviously. And another time when Trump's yacht was there, but they couldn't get Trump's yacht into the berthing in the Intercoastal. So he was in Fort Lauderdale, and they had to park the yacht in Palm Beach or something. Anyway, is this making sense to everyone so far? Okay. Anybody having trouble translating to how it applies to you? Okay. Well, obviously you don't. He's back there going, no, I see how it translates to me. Well, these are your damn numbers. Let's run numbers now. Worst case scenario should be you get 50%. Best case scenario probably is around 75%, even though I keep using 87% or 90%. But, you know, Sterling's an outlier. I rarely see that replicated. Okay? Possible you could hit that, but let's say that the high end number is 75%, the low goal is 50%. So now what I have is I have between 25 and 40, right? Between 25 and 40, my math skills used to be a hell of a lot better. 75% would be 75, 37 and a half. You know, you used to have to do the SAT without a calculator and stuff, and nowadays, you know, adding your head is interesting. That's not awesome. Okay, so that's the ones that are not in Black Belt Club now. And then of 135, we're going to get 50 plus 17, so 67 up to, 135 times 0.75. Up to 104. Okay? Does everybody understand that? We're getting 67 to 104 of the 135. and we're getting 25 to 37 of the 50. So far, so good. Why did I differentiate the two? One of them are not on Black Belt Club, so what they're actually going to end up paying is higher, right? Those people are paying how much per month?
189.
So they're currently paying 189. And by the way, if we go to the same price, it's fine, right? I don't have to have a differential pricing for them. The only place I have to have a differential pricing is these people at the top, right? So they're going to pay the same. So now I'm going from 189 to 359, or I'm going to Master Club or to Black Belt Club as a fallback. Does that make sense? Okay. So now what happens? I'm going to make two arbitrary assumptions. Greg, what percentage of them paying in full are you comfortable with? Okay. I would say it's a little low, but let's take 10%. Okay. So we're going to do 10% paid in full. Okay. And by the way, what percentage of them can pay in full without killing his billing? If I'm going from 189 to 359.
32%.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. Two-thirds, one-third. So I could do one-third paid in full and not negatively impact the billing. If I'm going from 259 to 359, it's obviously a lower percent than that, right? So without pulling out the calculator, let's say 20%, so 1 out of 5, right? So if you keep that ratio in mind, you know, the goal is not to kill the billing, the goal is to build the billing. But you can hit those ratios and no blip on the billing, but just have stack up a bunch of cash. Okay, so everybody follow?
Yes.
Okay. So now, what I'm going to have is on the low end. Good thing they don't charge us by the page. Okay, so on the low end, I'm going to have 25 plus 67. And on the high end, I'm going to have 37 plus 104, right? Okay, so down payment for for Black Belt Club, what are you charging now?
420,
okay. So I've got 420 if they do Master Club, and I've got 580 if they do Leadership, which I would argue is not enough differential. So if you're already doing 420 on this, I'd rather this be 690 or 750 or something like that. Okay, we're actually putting $1,000 down on Leadership. Okay, but that being as it may. Okay, and then a paid in full on Leadership we've decided is 12,480, and the monthly bump is 100. So what ratio do you think you'll do? Well, of these guys, it's going to be all of them, but of these guys, how many of them do you think will have to fall back to Master Club? You got me on that. We do the same thing, but what?
I'm guessing 50%.
Okay. I would guess 25%, but let's go with 50%. Okay? So, we've got, of these, 50% are going to do Black Belt Club, 50% are going to do Leadership, right? So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to run the calculations. I'm not going to walk you through it because we don't want to be here until 10 p.m. So 25 times, let's see, half of them are this, 259 minus 189, so we've got 79. And what's your pay in full for Black Belt Club?
We only get 15% discount, so.
So.
$8,000.
Okay. Which might be a way to boost that 10% if you wanted to. Okay. So, and again, make sure the ratio is stuff that you don't feel bad about it when they pay you in full, right? But okay, so we're going to have now 12 in Black Belt Club, 12 in leadership, and we're going to have, what do we conclude, 10%? 10% paid in full and 10% monthly, or 10% monthly. Okay? So now we've got 1.2 at 12,800, 400. And we've got, well, let's 11 at 580 and 11 at 100, right? So we'll say 6,500 to be easy. And so now I've got 18, what do I have? 13, 19, about 20,000. Okay? So I've got 20,000 cash from leadership paid in fulls, and I've got $1,100 bump in monthly payment. So far, so good? Okay? And then I've got 10% at 8,000. So I've got 8,000 in paid in full, and I've got 90 at 400, 90%, so that's 11. So I've got 4,400 in cash, and I've got 11 times a bump of $80, so I've got $800 bump in new monthly payment. Okay, everybody so far so good? So on his current 50, we have a $28,000 cash result, and we have a $1,900 bump in new monthly payment. Everybody so far so good? Now, if you bump the cash number to 20%, that becomes 56,000. If you bumped it to 30%, that becomes 56 plus 28, so 90,000, right? And I would have targeted 25 to 30%, okay? But everybody so far so good with this, okay? Now, on the leadership side, it's better numbers because of the ratios. So we have 100 people, 104 people. They're all going to go to leadership, right? And the leadership is going to give us 580 down, $100 bump. Oh, no, I screwed this up. This is 179, 180 bump. So that's more like $2,000 new monthly payment bump, right? Because I use just the addition. So now you've got 2,800 of bump in billing. Would that be enough to be significant for the first year? Yeah, I mean, that wouldn't hurt your feelings by itself. So now we're over here, we're 12,500 at 104. And can you give me the license to use at least 20%? Okay, so let's do 20% cash. So we've got 20 people at 12,500. So what's that number?
About 25,000.
With 125,000 times 2. So now we're at a $250,000. Okay? And we're at 80 times 580. Which is 11,000 cash, let's say. Okay? And we're at 80 times 100, so we're at $8,000 in new monthly payment. Okay? Would that be significant, Greg?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And see, that's all from just not having had a leadership program, right? So now in cash terms, we have 250 plus 28 plus 11. So that's 280, 290, that's 300,000. Right? And we have a new monthly payment terms, we have basically 10,800 in new monthly payment. Okay? Now, how many total renewals was that based on? That was based on, well, okay, here's what I did, by the way, is I used this number and I used this number, And I'm not going to go through and redo the other seven. You get the idea, right? So I did the high number here. I did the low number here. And if you go lower on this number, right, or higher on this number, it evens itself out. Is everybody so far so good? Okay. So let's say that our low goal is we want to do 60, 70, 80, 92 renewals. And our high goal is we want to do 141. Okay? How many business days did I say we had?
39.
40, actually, right? Because I had left off the first. So with 40 business days, 144 divided by 40 is 3.6 a day. Okay? And with 92 divided by 40, that should be easier, it's 2.3 a day. Okay? So my low goal is 2.3 renewals a day. My high goal is 3.6. Right? And then I figure out what the cash numbers are. But let's say that my high goal is 300,000 divided by 40. So my daily cash goal is 7,500. Is there anybody in here that doing $7,500 a day cash over 40 days would be such trivial rounding error you don't give a shit? Okay, just checking. So now here's a couple of assumptions I made that I'll tell you won't quite hold up. I assume that 80 of them pay 580 down. In reality, you're going to have some of them say, "Well, God, I can do the monthly, but I just can't give you 580 down. Can I give you, can I give you half of that now, or can I give you what our next monthly payment would have been? And then can I pay, could I pay $100 next month and $100 a month before?" And that's all fine, right? I mean, let them pay today what they can pay, and then split it up, and as long as it doesn't get ridiculous, however they can pay it, right? So that's just fine. Some of them are going to say, "Well, that's for 4 or 5 years. Can I just, instead of doing that, can you give me the cash price for paying $4,000 once a year rather than, right?" I don't like that very well. What Jeff Smith's iteration on that has been is let them pay the first year up front with the same discount, or let them pay the first 2 years up front with the same discount, and then flip it into just paying monthly from there, right? So if they say, "Well, I can't pay 12.8," you flip it into, "Well, what could you pay?" "Well, I don't know. I guess I have to do it monthly." "Well, if you wanted to pay, the first year in full, we can still give you the cash discount, and that would be a big savings. And then we just pay it monthly from there." And sometimes you can get, he's had a lot, where it basically ends up they pay $5,000 down, or they pay $6,000 down, or they pay $4,000 down. That makes a big difference. That really accelerates your cash flow. And it's the way when you have a whole bunch of people who don't have the credit card or don't have whatever, still a lot of them can come up with it with a Christmas bonus or with something else. Yes, ma'am.
Sir, I would take it that on the balance you're not getting a discount.
No.
So they pay the amount, and then at the one-year point, they start paying the $359.
No, we don't start paying the first $359 next month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you consider you take that of what they can pay as their down payment.
Exactly.
But it's discounted off the total. They do get a discount.
They get a big discount off the chunk that they're willing to pay. So, and the way you could calculate that is, whatever the payment is, 359 times 12 plus the down payment, whatever that is, take a 20 or 30% off the top, and then let them pay that as the discounted amount. And it's still...
Go ahead. Remainder, I'm sorry, sir.
No, go ahead.
I just want to make sure I understand. Then the remainder you would just divide by the number of months, 36.
Yeah.
Or it would already be set. If it was 359 to 48 months, you'd have this chunk at the front, and then be 359 for 36
months. Or for 24 months, and they prepay 2 years.
Yeah.
Or for, if they prepay 2 years, you could then have it be 359 times 24.
Then we're going to pay 359 times 48.
Right.
Whatever chunk they pay, they pay.
Right.
And whatever's left is 359 times whatever number
yeah.
of months.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, we were talking about legalities earlier. If you're in a state, New York is one of them. If you're in a state where you have to be bonded, go get bonded. You know, it's not difficult to get bonded. It's not that expensive. Maury, you're bonded, right?
I'm not.
You're not? Well, why not? Go get bonded. Not a big deal. But then it, you know, exempts you from having all the types of different regulatory stuff that you might run into. Anytime we've ever had a school in a state where you have to be bonded, we just go get bonded. And I can't tell you how many people go through 92 machinations to figure out how not to get bonded, and then you go figure out it's not hard to get bonded, right? Back when LaValle was in New York, there was some weird New York exemption where if you owned an acre of land, you could pledge that to it and use it. It was some weird New York only thing I'd never heard about. So he went and bought an acre of land and pledged that to the bond.
And that would only be at risk if you like just left town and went out of business or something.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a risk if you had a dispute and somebody wanted $1,000 back and didn't have to lose your property.
No, and usually you're going to solve that and figure out a way to keep it from becoming litigious anyway.
Well, what is the bond in New York? Is it like super expensive?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. It could be $20.
Yeah. Last I looked at it was no big deal. And in most cases, you can go get a bonding company and do it. But I just remember that weird story as Steve had gone and figured out there was some second approach, and he went and bought an acre of land in the middle of the swamp somewhere and pledged that to the deal, and he was good to go.
And I think with the bonding company, you pay monthly, right? It's not like you pay $10,000 up front or some large amount. It's just a...
Yeah, I mean, well, there's a face value that you have to be bonded for, but then it's 1% or 2% of the face value that you can get the bond for, you know, assuming you give them financials and so forth and that they're comfortable. Last time I looked at it, it wasn't that big a deal. Our location in Maryland was always bonded. It was costing them maybe $2,000 or $3,000 a year at most, but I don't think it was that much.
How does bonding work?
Some states won't let you take cash for more than a set period of time if you're not bonded, because what they're worried about is you're going to go out of business and they're not going to get their money back. Right?
Just like contractors got to be bonded, some companies have to be bonded, because again, if they're halfway through your house and they flake out, there's money in trust somewhere that's going to get paid to you so that you can finish your job.
So you have that money in a trust, in other words.
It's not your money. Usually you just go to an insurance company and they do these things all the time. And like in the case of a martial arts school, the law will usually state something like, you know, you can't take cash for more than 90 days for any program unless you're bonded. And then if you're bonded, you know, there's some other parameter. And I've seen some where if you're bonded, you can take cash for up to 3 years. And if you're not bonded, it can't be more than 90 days or 60 days. And if there is that kind of, I mean, there's not that in Colorado, but if there is that, just go get the bond. And that's where Tiger Shulman here got in trouble. I think it was Pennsylvania, not New York, but he got in trouble by just not going and doing the thing to begin with. He also got in trouble with franchise law. You know, they concluded that he was a franchise, and you know, then he had to go back and redo everything. Is everybody following this so far? So now what I know is I need to have 6 renewals a day, 7,500 cash. Now, and then what you do is you sit down, I won't do all the calculations, but you sit down with the calculator and you figure out where you have to be at the end of the first week, where you have to be at the end of the second week, where you have to be before Thanksgiving, where you have to be the next week, and you lay it all out. And now, for those of you who have a big staff that you're, you know, including in this, you now have a figure where you can build in bonuses and so forth, right? In my case, it was always where I had 25% of the gross off the top going into payroll anyway. Right? So they were going to get, not individually, but collectively at a school, 25% of the gross for payroll anyway. So I had to calculate in my mind what in addition to that am I comfortable with, right? But if a school just did $100,000 this month, then $25,000 is going to go into payroll, more or less split equally among two full-time people. So let's say one was going to make $10,000, the other was going to make $12,000, right? So I already knew that was the deal. So when I went through all these calculations with them, I would have to point that out. Here's how you're getting paid. Here's what your number will be when you do this. And here's the additional time off bonus. Here's the additional cash bonus. Does that make sense? Now, from a standpoint of building bonuses, here's a caveat. I always built time off bonuses on absolute numbers. In other words, numbers of renewal or contract amount. And I always did on numbers of renewal. I always did cash bonuses and it's been deposited in the bank and the check cleared. Right? Took a credit card, it authorized, and the money's in the bank. So I never did cash bonuses on non-cash items because if you do that, you encourage them to do, at the margin, a bunch of flaky deals that then fall apart or become problematic. And on the flip side, I got away from thinking about contract amount to thinking about new monthly payment. Because truthfully, $300 a month committed for 7 years, it really doesn't mean much because you're going to have attrition. You're not going to collect the last 2 or 3 years in most cases. You're not going to sue them. I mean, it's a fictitious number. But $100 added to the building is the real number, right? So, and again, I was finding staff when we used contract amount were real proud of themselves for a bunch of really big looking but truthfully kind of flaky deals that really hadn't added much. And I went to net new monthly payment because I didn't want them thinking if it went from $259 to $359 for 10 of them that they added $3,500 to the billing. No, they added a grand maybe depending upon how many of them cashed out, right? Does that all make sense? So now the question is, because who in here feels like doing 6 renewals a day and $7,500 is so far ridiculous that you can't even get your mind around it? Okay? Well, understandably. Now, if you don't have 150 prospects, see, he's in a good situation
because... I have 100 prospects.
Yeah. He's in a good situation in this case. Because he's left so much money on the table for a year, he can now go scoop it up, right? Because he hasn't had, you know, the leadership program in place, right? But, you know, a lot of times, frankly, with my schools, we were going into it with, we got 40 prospects, we got 50 prospects. When we weren't, the best numbers we ever did were exactly where you're at, which is we have a whole bunch of people who are a master club, we've never had a leadership program before, and we did numbers like this. We did numbers like this without even knowing what the hell the curriculum was going to be. Okay? I mean, I've told the story a few times, but, you know, I put together the curriculum after Christmas, right? So, now, I knew, if you go look at that infomercial, milehighblackbelt.com, the infomercial was shot before the renewal blitz to launch the program. Okay? So I had put together the language on how to sell it. I had a picture in my mind of what I wanted it to be. But I knew that my deadline was by January 1st, I had to know what the first quarter was going to be. In reality, first of the year, I had about a year and a half worth of it. I think about a year of it concrete. And the 3 years, pretty well sketched out, but not like I want to commit to what we're going to do, you know, next year, this year. Does that make sense? So, you know, once you put that pressure in, for most of you, most of what your leadership curriculum is going to be is you plug them into the online stuff that we're already doing, you plug them into that, and you come up with a couple of little cool things to do. And don't overcomplicate it, because it doesn't have to be that much, right? Most of it truly is about selling the benefit of your child's going to be, you know, we're going to get him on the path to being able to go to West Point or Harvard, class president. I mean, it's that kind of language for the kids. Same thing, same kind of language for the adult presented in, you know, in from their worldview.
I have my curriculum pretty well structured to where that's working well. Now I need to be able to sell it to my
Now let's
strong process. I've been doing the trickle thing. You know?
Now let's go into the brass tacks. So I'm going to stay with the same number. I have to do 6 renewals a day, $7,500 cash a day. I've got 150 prospects, of which I want to end up with, what was the number? It was at least 100 renewals, right?
154.
Well, no, that's a... Oh, you're right, I've got 200 prospects. So I want to end up with somewhere between 92 and 144 renewals. Okay? It was 50 and 150. So 50 in his case that are not Black Belt Club, he had 150 that are Black Belt Club, and he's never had anything above that. Right? Okay. Now, let's talk in practical application. If you have 40 people to renew, is it a little bit difficult to actually have enough one-on-one conversations with 40 people in order to get them close? I mean, 200 people. If I have 200 people in 40 days, is that a lot of effort? Yeah. Now, some of them are two or kid, three kids in the family, so you chunk down that. But you've got to have a lot of conversations, right? And where I see people go wrong with this is they, instead of, okay, I just got back to West Point, I'm going to take Monday and I'm going to sleep all day and get relaxed, and I'm going to get everybody energized, and I'm going to get the energy up in the school, I'm going to get everybody excited, I'm going to get my own motivation up. They just kind of keep working the way they've always worked. And I always told my staff, here's the deal. November, December, you're going to work harder than you've ever worked in your life, and you're going to go away and have almost 2 weeks to recuperate, and you're going to have an extra $10,000 cash in your pocket. And then we're going to start the new year strong, and we're going to have a big advertising budget, and we're going to really jump up our numbers next year. And by the way, you know, if you jump up your billing by $10,000 a month, automatically you're making an extra $1,000 a month in January without having done anything yet in January, right? So that would be the conversation. And guess what? Did they all do it? Hell no. Some of them waited until 2 days before the deadline, and then they, you know, hustled up all the A pluses. Scott Ramser, first time he did this, he was sitting there in the school, in the middle of the school with his guitar and his instructors singing Christmas songs because they were open the entire time. I let them close Christmas Day and a little early on Christmas Eve because those assholes just didn't do anything, right? But, so, do they all rise to the occasion? Absolutely not. There's no such thing. But the faster, in a multi-school environment, the faster you get somebody to take off, the more you're going to get everybody else to do it. For yourself in a single school, the quicker you get a bunch of people to do it quick, then the easier it is to maintain the momentum. Does that make sense? Okay. And what you want to do with your student body, again, we have the ABC thing, right? So I'm going to ABC the kids, ABC the parents, or if it's an adult, many times it's ABC the student, ABC the spouse, right? Because, you know, the guy who's doing jiu-jitsu who's getting grief from the wife or vice versa, you know, that's going to be a harder sell. And I'm going to go ABC them. And who am I going to start with?
A.
Yeah, I'm going to start with the A++, right? So the ones that are a lay down, that all I have to do is tell them how much and, you know, almost practically have the credit card on file and just say charging for whatever you're doing. I'm going to hit those first, right? Why am I not going to go the other way?
Build your confidence.
You need social proof also.
You need social proof and to build your confidence, right? The worst thing to do, and analytically it makes sense, is you say I have the A pluses, I have the A's, I have the B's, I have the C's, I have the D minuses, and I have the F's. And probably the S aren't going to do it, but the D pluses and the C's will eventually do it, but I got to work harder on them, so I better start early and work hard on them. Now what you end up doing is beating your head against the wall with the ones that are resistant and conclude that this thing isn't going to work, right? Start with the ones that, you know, any moron could do it. You can put an ATM machine on the door and give, you know, send them a postcard, right? You all have 10% of your student body that fit in that category. Probably 20%. But start with those. And then chunk it to the next level, chunk it to the next level, and keep working your way back. Does that make sense? And I gave the example of one of our guys who launched a renewal blitz and really thought he had marketed hard because he sent them all an email. Okay?
Oh, God. That was terrible. Wait, he got a really good response, though. He upgraded 3 people in his renewal blitz.
Yeah.
We thought that was horrible. But all he did was send 1 email. If you sent 1 email out and you upgraded 3 people, that's a pretty good response, actually.
Well, he had 50% open rate, so half of them read it, right?
Yeah, so he upgraded 3.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, you know, I'm the marketing guy, right?
That's right. You tell us.
So don't get antsy on this, but I'm going to tell you how much you're going to paper them with stuff.
Okay.
And I am not exaggerating one iota.
Let us have.
Okay. I'm going to do direct mail to them 2 to 3 times a week. Okay. It doesn't have to be complicated. But if I've got whatever my calendar was back here, I have 7 weeks, right? So let's say that they're all going to get a minimum of 14 pieces of mail. Okay? Now, of those 14 pieces of mail, an awful lot of them can be basically the same thing. Right? But we just concluded that the Black Belt Club, we're renewing the leadership, they're going to save $8,000. Right? The non-Black Belt Club, we're renewing the leadership, are going to save more than that. I'm not going to go figure it out, but let's say it's $10,000. Right? So I can honestly say to all of them that as long as they renew by the deadline, they're going to save $8,000 or more. Right?
When you send out this mailing, is it a lot about the benefits, or is it mainly about the deal?
Early on, it's mostly about benefits. Later on, it's about deadline and deal. Okay? But
I think you have everything with the deadline and deal somewhere in there, though.
Right.
Like in a PS. Like PSs are good to use in letters because they're the most read part of the
letter. Exactly. Yeah. So to specifically, early on, I might not have $8,000 in there. But if I'm launching a new thing, it's going to be exciting new leadership program. And the PS can be final deadline December 20th to be grandfathered in for massive savings.
Can you do that?
I don't know.
Final deadline December 20th to be grandfathered in for massive savings.
Yeah. And see, the language I'm using is, you've been a long time loyal student, we're launching this new thing, if you are. We're launching this new thing, so we want to grandfather you in at a much lower price, right? If you're not launching a new program, it can be a straightforward... But I didn't say this specifically today. It can be a straightforward... There's a 20% price increase after December 20th, right? So if you already have all that in place, you can do all these same numbers with there's a 20% price increase at the first. The nice thing about Greg's numbers, and some of you have the same example, is he hasn't had it. Some of you have had it, but have been inept or impudent in renewing. So if you have a lot of prospects, you can do big numbers. Does that make sense? Okay. And in all honesty, Greg, do this well an extra $200,000 to $250,000 cash in 6 or 7 weeks. Okay. That's not a BS number. And it certainly wouldn't hurt your January marketing opportunities. You might go broadcast TV in Fort Collins in January with a nice little war chest to build it up. There's a variety of things that could be done that could jump you to the next level. And it might well be worth the effort to focus on it being, you know, first half of the year we jump from 200 to 300 active and jump from 40s to 70s. That's completely doable. Okay? But is everybody following me so far?
Yeah.
So I would mail to them two or three times a week. I also, and some of these things that we've done, you've got to figure out what your comparable is. What I always like to do at the beginning, and we usually have it tied around a black belt test or some big event, but we have what martial arts has done for me, essays that they have to write at their black belt test. And I have those going back about 10 years. Okay? So,
you gotta go.
We will bundle those essays and give packets of those essays, right? So when they come in at the beginning of the week in a kid's class, I'll give all the parents who are sitting on the sideline the bundle of all the essays. And any of the kids who didn't have parents there or parents were in class, I'll give it to them to take home and go through and give them all those What Karate Has Done For Me essays and just overwhelm them with that, right? We'll also have pictures of all the new black belts. And the instructor can talk about them and what they've accomplished. And when they talk about them, by the way, they're not talking about how good they are. They're talking about how far they've come. Right? Because your biggest issue is mom of a white belt or an adult, you know, green belt or whatever, who thinks that they're the only one who's ever been uncoordinated in this, and I know those guys can do it, but I couldn't do it. Right? So you want to... See, we all have a tendency to put black belts on a pedestal, but usually we miss the point. I mean, we want to be out there like we're Superman, and all of our black belts are phenomenal, but what the student does early on is they assume they were already coordinated and athletic and like a West Point graduate or something, and I could never do this because, right? So you've always got to do the how far they've come, right? So now what I want to do, and I'm assuming they're coming to class two times a week, every time they come to class, I want a big package of information to give them. Okay? Now, on that website I referenced, that you're welcome to go look at, I have a package that's Q&A with Master Oliver about achieving your black belt. So that's one piece of paper we would give. Another thing we have on there is... I stole from Zig Ziglar, I believe, but a goal-setting sheet, and it's how to set your goal to secondary black belt. So the first couple of weeks, every class, the mat chat, is about goal-setting and how to set the goal and focus on and achieve your black belt, right? The other thing we would do right at the beginning is go order a bunch of cheap black belts and... Don't just do this for the people who aren't renewed if you're not launching a new program. Do this for everybody. Because you're either trying to actually get them renewed or you're trying to renew and restart their level of commitment. So you do it for the entire school, okay? But I go buy a whole bunch of cheap black belts. We get one of those Sharpie pens that write in silver. And so on the black belt, we write their target test date. We put a black belt on them on November 1st and let them wear it until December 20th. And we take a picture of them I like Polaroids, but that, do they even make those anymore? But we did they buy, bring them back?
You can buy, there's a company that makes
them. Yeah. I guess now you can take a picture with your iPhone and plug it into a little wireless printer. But they do make like Polaroid print. Like it's a little base, like Kodak did it, but you can just put it on and print that one in a little picture. But take a picture of them wearing a black belt. Have two of them. One of them goes up on your display, which is graduating class of whatever it would be, right? So now all of the white and gold belts are, if it's 3 years, so 15, 16, 17, graduating class of 2017, right? I didn't notice in the West Point store, but like at Air Force, they have class of 2017 t-shirts that they sell to cadets. Stuff like that, right? So I would have a big display, our graduating class of 2017, our graduating class of 2018, you know, with them wearing a black belt, photo of them up on the display. But I'd also have a photo that I took a Sharpie, and you'll go through a lot of Sharpies, and write down their target test date. And I'm going to tell them to take this with your goal setting sheet. We're going to work on the goal setting. Go put it on your mirror in your bathroom and look at it. And then on the 20th of December when we're done, your assignment is to take your black belt and go put it at home and put it on the wall and put it with your picture and use that as a visualization tool, right? And you guys are probably all good enough at this, but remember, one aspect of goal setting, and again, Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar have better language than I would have, is all about picturing yourself having already achieved it, right? So now, and Marty, I think this was your question, may have been your question about, you know, how to have the instructors tie in all this. Well, the instructors are teaching goal setting, and they're having me visualize myself in the mirror as a black belt, and allow us to do our kick or a punch or whatever as a black belt. And now you get a chance to make that the theme of everything you do. Does that make sense?
Wait, slow down.
No, go ahead. We've got a recording.
Okay, we got it.
I'll try to get these up pretty quickly.
Okay, great.
Okay. It's still recording. That's
good.
Okay.
Well.
Okay. These always come out really good, as long as we remember to turn it on. So now they've all gotten a black belt. You have the big display, class up, whatever it is. Any support material that is testimonial type of material, I want to overwhelm them with, right? And I want you to picture the best possible thing would be if Carol, who's a mom of a second degree black belt, sat down next to Susan, who's a parent of a white belt, and said, "Who's your kid?" "Oh, fantastic. See him? That's mine. How's he doing?" "Oh, he's a little awkward." "You know what? My son's a second-degree black belt, and he was awkward as hell at the beginning. In fact, he was in braces. I had no idea that he could possibly do this. You know, what I found was," right? And see, that would be the best possible thing, is that mom sits down and sells the other mom on doing it, and she has no financial remuneration. She's not perceived to be staff, right? The more you can get that to happen, the better off you are in reality day to day. That's hard. But it's not hard to schedule an event or belt graduation or an intramural tournament and ask her to come up and then ask her questions and have that happen as a group. It's also not hard to stick a cheap video camera or an iPhone in her face, nicely of course, and ask her questions and get her to have that conversation. Nowadays it's so easy, it's stupid. Take my iPhone, do a little video, upload it to YouTube, email them all and text them all a link to go watch the video. I mean, it's super easy, right? And by the way, that's a good use of text. Send them little video links so they can pop it open in YouTube and watch the video, right? So now, how often am I going to communicate with them? I'm going to make sure they have some stuff every time they come in. Can the stuff repeat itself? Sure it is, because they don't read it the first three times anyway, right? I'm going to take the same stuff that I'm handing out in class, and I'm going to mail it to them. And if you have some big, thick package of, like, testimonials and stuff that's useful, put that in a priority mail envelope and spend the $5 and mail it right at the beginning, right? If you want to see some examples, again, with all that leadership program material that's up on the website, there's some really good flyers and handouts and posters. There's a poster, if it were me, I would blow it up to the size of that white screen back there and put it on the wall. Right? Because they're a full-color poster. You can go to FedEx office and do that for probably $150, right? It's not expensive. Again, 30 years ago, that would have been $1,000. Now it's $120, right? So go blow it up. And by the way, there's 8.5 by 11 sheets, which reduce down nicely to 4 up postcards. So you could take the color 8.5 by 11 and print them to 4 up postcards. You could use that or upload it to Amazing Mail and send it out as a color postcard. You don't ever have to even touch it. You could print it and do it 8.5 by 11 flyers and hand it out. I mean, there's all kinds of those resources. You don't have to reinvent anything.
On the bottom of one of those posters, there's a typo we noticed.
Oh, is there?
The word excellence is misspelled. The one that lists out all the different.
If you'll zap over an email, I'll get Merrick to fix that.
Okay.
That's it's an easy solution.
Yeah.
Finding those things is hard.
Yes,
fixing
right.
them is easy.
Okay.
What's Amazing Mail?
Jesus.
What's that?
What is Amazing Mail?
Oh, Amazing Mail is a... here's a couple of resources that I like. We talked about this yesterday. One is CallLoop, which is a text messaging and broadcast voicemail service. There's a banner and a link up at the website for that. CallLoop. Yeah, if you go log into an Atmos site, there's a banner right there that says text messaging. That's the easiest and cheapest one I've come across. Okay? And you may find occasionally something that's marginally cheaper, but then they're a pain in the ass to use. Like for NAPNA stuff and for the backbone for franchise, we use Infusionsoft, but the nickname behind the scenes is Confusionsoft. And CallLoop is just brain dead easy to use. And CallLoop can do broadcast voicemail, leave a message only on their answering machine, broadcast voicemail, leave a message only if they pick up the phone, broadcast voicemail, leave a message on the phone, ask them to press 2 to be connected back to the school. For this application, I would use that in a heartbeat. For this application, if I'm trying to get appointments with 200 people, think about this. Broadcast voicemail goes out to your students. Live answer says, you know, hi, this is professor or master or whatever you use, I want to just talk to you real quickly. I hate to have a computer call you, but I'm trying to get through all the students quickly. And as you know, we're pretty hectic down here, but I need to get an appointment to talk to you about your progress in class. And if you'll press 2 right now, one of our instructors will answer the phone and schedule an appointment so we can get that done this week. See, for your existing students, I don't mind a live answer. For prospects, I wouldn't use that. For prospects, I just leave a voicemail. Okay? So that's one resource. The other resource for email, and there's a bunch of them that are pretty good, but I like AWeber the best. And again, there's a banner up at the site, I think. If there's not a banner in the member site, go to Martial Arts Professional. There should be one there. And the third one is Amazing Mail. And the fourth one is Ring Central, by the way. But Amazing Mail is not inexpensive. So this is not like the cheapest. But it's a quick and easy way to get color postcards out. And if it were me on a renewal blitz like this, I would probably have, if I were going to do 14 mailings, 8 to 10 of them would be something that got generated through Amazing Mail that I just had automatically mailed. Okay? What it is you can upload any list you want. They can bulk mail a card. They can first class mail a card. I usually do first class. They can do whatever their preset templates are. And all you have to do is upload a JPEG for whichever photos you want to use, type in the text, and then it automatically mail merges, prints, and sends. And in their case, they're good. Mail's out of Phoenix, so you're going to add a day for New York, but it mails out of Phoenix tomorrow. Oh, are you the one that keeps refilling my water? Thank you. When I opened that third one, I went, you know, there started out to be two, and there's a third that magically appeared, but I'm not complaining. at least I was conscious of that for recognizing my mind that it appeared. Does that answer the question?
Yes.
And there are a bunch of other companies that do all this stuff. I've used a bunch of them.
What do you use for DVD reproduction?
We're using McManus usually. It's in Wichita, Kansas. There's another company that I've used before. I get catalogs from them all the damn time. What the hell is the name? You know, if you remind me, I'll tell you. But McManus is really good, really cheap. For that kind of stuff. But anyway, is that making sense? So I would definitely have something to hand them out every time they came to class. At least the next 2 weeks, every lesson, every class is now on goal setting. Okay? They're all going to get a black belt. The black belt is going to have a silver Sharpie with their target black belt date. They're going to get a photo to take home of them wearing a black belt we're going to do a photo that we're going to put on the wall for the class of whatever. Okay? And we're going to have pictures of all the existing black belts, assuming you have some. Some of you have a ton of them. Some of you are too new for that, right? But I'm going to have pictures of all the new black belts. If I have something like essays or something that they've done, I'm going to pass those out. Again, be sensitive to, if they didn't know ahead of time you're going to put it out and somebody's talking about they were sexually molested and there's been, you know, edit or redact or pull that one or something. So don't unintentionally embarrass anybody, right? But again, the more of that kind of material you can generate, the better. Here's a secret for generating that type of stuff quickly. Take your iPhone, hold it in their face, never prep them ahead of time. You want cold, honest, you don't want prepped. Because if I say to Carol, hey Carol, would you mind tomorrow coming in and giving me a great testimonial for my video, what are most of them going to do? Oh, they're going to primp and make sure they look good and wear a jacket and a tie, and they're going to kind of script it out, and then they're going to come in and try to do their script, and they're not going to look like a real person, and they're not going to be, that they're not going to sound honest even though they're being honest, right? You don't, I mean, you know, George Clooney can pull it off, but I would rather have looks like the neighbor next door, talks like the neighbor next door, and when they make grammatical errors and when they stutter, don't you dare edit it, right? And the best ones we ever did, by the way, three-day black belt retreat. We keep them up the entire time, and we shot it all on Sunday. So they were exhausted and defenses down and elated, and we got the best possible. Those are the ones on MyHighBlackBelt.com. As we got some of the best testimonials, and we didn't have to, you know, I wasn't even in the room. We didn't lead them very much. It was just asking them questions. But we had one mom that said, well, you know, this was a lot of money, but then I figured if I used the college fund, and by the way, I've got to re-update and edit it. The mom who said if we used the college fund ended up with a full ride scholarship to Pepperdine or something like that, right? So another one was on there, ended up number two in their class at West Point. So the follow-up story is pretty impressive. We've just been organized enough to add it, right? But what you want is as much testimonial stuff as you can. What I always do, the only leading question I ever ask them is, what did you think about your child's success, or how were you thinking about this when you were a white belt? Oh man, he was the most awkward. See, that's what I want to hear, right? I don't know. We had him in the hospital 3 times for asthma. We thought there was no way. I mean, all those kind of stuff, right? And some of them you're not going to get that. They're going to say, well, he was in football and hockey and baseball, and he was an A student, and this was, you know. But that's not very helpful for me, right? In fact, the only editing I might do is take that out. But as much testimonial stuff as you can get. And again, nowadays it's easy. Go to Best Buy, get a cheap camera, use your smartphone, upload it to YouTube, text them out the link, mail the link, piece it all together as rough as you want and have a TV running in the lobby. Burn it to a DVD and send it home with them. I do think the tipping point is here where we're doing this a lot now by pushing them to a website rather than mailing them the thing, right? But in order to get them to do it, you've got to email it to them, you've got to text it to them, you've got to ask them to go watch it, and you've got to confirm that they watched it. I mean, you give them a DVD, that doesn't mean they're going to watch it. In fact, it doesn't mean it's going to get home, right? The next shortcut is after you get those videos, you can just send it down and get it transcribed, and now you have 50 pages of written testimonials. The next thing you can do is you can pull off the audio track, and now you have a CD or an MP3. And if I was going to give them physically, I would likely give it physically in print when they're in the school, and I'd be more likely to give them an audio CD because maybe I can get them to put it in the car and listen to it on the way home, right? So from a standpoint of giving it to them physically rather than digitally, definitely I'm going to burn a lot of trees during this thing, right? So now you can be voicemails most of the early voicemails is just to get them to set an appointment with you, right? And again, I would use the live answer voicemail with push 2, and you'll be connected with an instructor. We can set an appointment for that. I would be using text messaging. Right? And I'd be using email. Now, there's, by the time you're done, and I mean, this is a true example. I've had, like, Dad show up on the 17th with a stack of stuff like this. Going, will you explain what the hell all this is? Absolutely. Have you read any of it? Not much. Did that work, serve my purposes just as well?
It did.
Absolutely. You know, it's just fine, right?
And further, too, when somebody comes in and says, well, why are you sending me all this crap? And they're actually upset. That worked just as well.
Worked just as well.
Fine. So when somebody comes into you, we've talked about this a lot in terms of like sending them too many emails. You know, if somebody came in and said, you're sending me a lot of emails, that should be a good indication at least approaching the number you should.
At least they know that they're getting them, right?
In fact, I would say if you don't get somebody kind of complaining about sending them all this crap...
No, not kind of. If you don't get 10% of them kind of annoyed, right?
And you do enough. Your goal is not to make everybody quiet and complain.
Yeah, no. And by the way, that's an easy script. Mrs. Jones comes in and she says, for God's sake, you handed me this damn packet of stuff. On the way home, I got a text. I got an email. I heard the pitch in class and the goal setting thing, and we got the damn black belt, and I got the other thing. You know, why the hell? You know, I've got the message, and why am I getting all this stuff? That's an easy. Ms. Jones, step back for a second. Take a look in the school right now. What do you mean? You're always here for Joey's class, right? I know you're sitting at the edge of your chair. You're not reading a romance novel and playing on your iPhone. You're paying attention to what's going on, right? Absolutely. When you're here, what percentage of the parents are actually sitting on the bench doing that? Well, not very many. Okay. How many of them are like reading the latest romance novel and not paying attention, sitting on the edge of their seat, paying attention to what's going on? Not very many. Right? It's like, well, Ms. Jones, we really appreciate the fact that you're so engaged. The other 90% aren't. So we've got to beat this to death. And I got to tell you, Ms. Jones, remember last weekend we had an intramural tournament? 5 people showed up at the front door, pulling on the door, couldn't figure out why it was. Do you know how many times we told them the class was not going to be there, it would be at the intramural? We had a big poster on the front door. We had a big poster in the classroom. We emailed them, texted them, voicemailed them, and sent them a postcard. Still, 5 people, or 10 people, whatever, were pulling the door because they didn't get the message. See, I mean, that's easy, right? And the one that'll get, a lot of times the one that'll get annoyed are the A++ students who are, you know, now, why did you kill 3 trees just for me? Well, because you know nobody else is like you, right? You know, and they're always the ones. They're the head of the PTA, and they're engaged in scouts, and they're, you know, whatever else. So it's a really easy reframe. Is this making sense to everybody so far?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Now, the...
No, it's okay. Okay.
The last thing here is, I've already hit a couple of pieces, but have massive decoration in your school. Have it obnoxious. The theme can be all about black belt, all about the leadership program. One thing that we'll always do, because it's the blue tops, we'll go order 30 blue tops and put black belts around them and hang them from the ceiling. So the school is just loaded with the blue leadership tops with black belts on them hanging from the ceiling. And we'll have a big poster about the thing that's so big you literally have to duck under it to get through the front door, right? And again, we'll have first 25 that renew to leadership get a free blue top. But when the sign goes up, it'll say 25 marked out, 24 knocked out, 23 marked out, 22. meaning there's 22 left. And every couple of days, we'll knock off a couple of them, right? You know, I should say that the numbers exactly correspond with the numbers, but the reality is when they renew, we're going to give them a free top, and the first three are just there for there to be some momentum, right? So you're not...
The truth in advance.
Exactly, exactly. You got to it before I did. Class of 2017. Yes, sir.
So my situation is that I enrolled the vast majority of my students into the Black Post program all the way through the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten about 15 new students in August, September, mm-hmm. now October. And those are the ones that I'm now going to be... So it's a relatively small number.
Relatively small number.
It would have been a normal process to upgrade them. Should I go through this with them?
Absolutely. And you should go through it, most of the steps, with all of the students. You know, the put them all in a black belt, set the goal, take the picture, all that stuff. I don't care if they're a brown belt. I want them still being refocused and re-energized. And again, one of the biggest points of attrition you have during the year is the holidays, right? So it's a really good way for, at least if they're going to be gone at grandmother's for 2 weeks, for them to have left excited. Right, so I would do it with everybody. Now, you renewed them all into the leadership program or something. Okay, you know, you certainly could. You may not want to, but you can certainly go back to what Jan's question was, which we never had a good answer for, I guess. But you could go back to what her question was, which is launch the next new thing at the same time. You know. I'm careful about that because whatever you launch next, you're stuck with, right? And something like this, if it's the $1,000 a month program, my expectation would be 20% of the student body wants to do it, half of them can afford it, right? So now you're not targeting as big a numbers as far as people. However, the dollar amounts would be huge, right?
It's also a good time to like correct your curriculum, fix things up, and you know make sure everything's positioned right. Basically,
exactly.
Trying to correct.
Exactly.
This is a good time to get that stuff cleaned up.
Well, and right now, you know, Monday is the time to make sure the energy level in the school is at peak. Nobody's falling through the cracks. Really make sure the rapport is in place. You know, double it from 5 to 10 people a class that they have to talk to, and make sure that everybody has been prepped. Because, you know, you don't want to launch and then you have all this stuff going on, then that stuff looks manipulative, right? So if there's any service gaps or any energy gaps or any of that, you fix it, like, right now, right? I've always been in the, let's have a big event or two in October, let's, you know, push up the energy, build rapport, progress updates, everything else, and then launch this on November 1st, right? And... again, we'll do a couple more teleconferences because we've covered a lot of ground right now. But you can schedule several special events. It could be like like if you're a multi-school operator, or if you're the owner but you're not on the floor a lot, you could do a special seminar with you for all the new leadership people and the leadership people. You know, across multiple schools, we would always schedule a couple of, you know, special seminar with Master Oliver or a special seminar with Master Smith. That it's for all leadership, but obviously part of the incentive to renew by, let's say, Thanksgiving is you get to come to the thing that's going to be the week after Thanksgiving, right?
We do that. I can back that up too because that's what I do. I mainly teach every once a quarter, so we
right.
do something special. But these are the big ones that I do, and we make it required. You know, everybody needs to be there. It's a big deal, and mm-hmm. they have a lot of fun. And we usually give them a little bit better discount or some kind of thing at that day, because
mm-hmm.
then people show up. There's some reward.
My question, if you don't mind,
no, go ahead.
To this is, we have had these jump through the loops qualification process, which have drug things out a little bit. And I realize, how do I include that? You know, I have to have letter of recommendation, teachers, parent, grandparent, that kind of thing. You know, we get this process started. So, your take on that?
It's a double-edged sword because all the way through you want to be using takeaway selling and you want qualification And those two components are extremely necessary, right? And on the other side, you don't want an impediment where most human beings, to get the letter to the teacher, get it back and actually do that, you have the breakdown that the teacher doesn't do it, and you get the breakdown. You know, I mean, if it was my 6-year-old, you ain't getting that out of me anytime soon. I mean, just the process of going and figuring out how to, you know, get it to the teacher, get her, his kind of grumpy teacher, to do something cooperatively, then getting her to do it. I mean, there would be a breakdown. I know that, right? And so you can short circuit that a little bit by just making it you're questioning the parent and you're sending something home for them to bring back at your next appointment, right? And so, and again, that's for a child. You know, for an adult, similar. But you're just going through, is Joey doing okay in class? Yes, no. What is it we need to fix, right? And and like that, you know, black belt qualification form, you can do that verbally with them, right? And so that short circuits some of that. Keep in mind what, for a child, what some of the objections are. Well, I'm not real pleased with the way he's doing in math right now. I want him to fix his math scores before. You know, you've got to know ahead of time what the objections are and then know how you're going to respond to that, right? And in almost all cases, you're not going to get into money and all that stuff until they've already said that this is having a positive impact, right? But their objection can be, I want to see him make a little bit more progress before making that kind of commitment. And you have to have the answer to that. Well, Mrs. Jones, you've already said that he's been making a tremendous amount of progress at home and at school already. I mean, you just said that, right? Yes. All that's going to happen is it's going to accelerate with this. So you already have proof yourself that this is having a big impact. I really hate to see, now, you know, if you get down to that point, I really hate to see you pay an extra $1,000 a week. Because where did I come up with that? Well, if you're going to save $8,000 and you want to wait till February till the next grade reports come out, it's going to be $1,000 a week that you're paying extra to wait. And even though you have, you know, it's just $8,000 savings, all that stuff, putting it that way irritates them, but it moves them to action.
I was going to ask that because I'm sure it's going to tick them off a little bit.
Well, a little bit. but notice the way I said it. I really hate to see you pay. I'm on your side. I really hate to see you pay. I'm not saying, you know, and sometimes, you know, they'll say, well, no, we really are going to do it in February, you know. Well, I mean, my vested interest would be you pay an extra $8,000, but I really hate to see it cost you $4,000 a month, $1,000 a week. And there's, you know, you already know that this is what's going to happen, right? And now some of the reasons will be, in March we're going to find out about his job transfer.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and do the renewal, and they have the option to cancel it in March when the job transfers. And you know, on the cash deal, sometimes you get objections like that. You know, the example I've used a lot was one that I was sitting down face to face, and he said, you know, I think it was a rocket scientist, right? I'm an engineer with Rockwell International, and I'm on contract. And if they don't renew my contract, we may have to go, you know, I think it was Seattle. We may have to go to Boeing or something, right? And my response was, well, clearly it's not an issue putting them in leadership. The only quandary is whether to pay it in full or not, right? Well, am I obligated for that? No. If you move, we'll just cancel it right away. Okay. Yeah, no problem. Now, in the pay in full calculation is how long are you likely to be here, and when are you going to know? It ended up with, well, there's 90% chance we're going to be here for at least 3 years, and there's probably additional five. I mean, it was, you know, that kind of calculation. And my answer was, well, if you're likely to be here at least till you get to brown belt, that's your break-even point. So if they're here till brown belt, you're fine. if they're here a little bit beyond that, you were better off to have paid in full. And if you're here less than that, you know, it was a bad idea. Was it refundable if we moved? No. The reason I'm giving, not I, but the reason that it's such a big discount is it's not refundable, right? And I'm always clear on that. In fact, the agreement, it's like in 18-point type. And that one came back in and paid in full for a family, right? But, I mean, and this was a logical, analytic PhD guy. I mean, he went through and, you know, looked at it, and he was fine with it, right? I had another one where I was working on them, and the mom comes in, and I say, well, what did we decide to do? And she says, oh, we talked about it. We're not going to do it. And class was just starting. And I had, you know, a little bit of a conversation, but it was kind of like she's on her way by. So I grabbed the dad. And then when she was out of class, he's writing the check and paying in full. And she says, oh, what's going on? He goes, yeah, I solved it. It's fine, right? And what it was is, and it's they're also on that testimonial video, strangely enough. It's the little girl who was a little crippled, right? And so what it was is there was four in the family, and they were worried about her. And so all we had to do was have a conversation about her. And by the way, she got her black belt, she got her second degree black belt, she did fine. But I had to reassure him that if she wasn't able to do this, that they weren't going to have to end up, you know, paying, you know, for her. And otherwise they were fine. And in the reality, on the family rates, whether she was doing it or not wasn't going to make any difference, right? But they hadn't done that calculation in their mind, right? Understand what a lot of people will do is she says, oh, we're not going to do it, and they check them off the list and they move on. And you've always got to have that conversation and solve that problem. Okay? Yes. Yep, we are at that point. Any last question or two? Okay, I know in this case we covered a lot of ground. And by the way, any of these paper pads that you want to take pictures of or any of them you want to keep, feel free, right? So if there's some stuff that we've covered that having the notes up here are useful, go take pictures. Greg, certainly I would go through the stuff specifically, make sure you have them in your notes or you have a copy of this. Do we want to go ahead and schedule that next follow-up call on the renewal blitz? Do you guys want to do Wednesday or Thursday this week?
Wednesday.
Okay. Which is, what the hell, 22nd? How about if we do Noon Mountain, 2 Eastern? Does that work? Okay. Well, and we'll record it, and then I'll email it right out to you, too. Well, good. Scale of 1 to 10, how's the last 2 or 3 days been?
Good stuff.
8? Okay.
That's because I need a camera, so.
That's what the recorder's for.
I got you.
Okay. Yeah. Valuable for everybody?
Absolutely.
Got some good action steps? Scale of 1 to 10, how useful was it to have Commissioner Carrick here?
10.
Okay. Okay, so I'm a 6 and he was a 10. Okay, I got the calculation. Okay. Is everybody got clarity? Or will you, if you don't have clarity, no later than Wednesday's call, let's get clarity.
Well, that's what I know. I yeah. Need to go home, go clean these things up now, you know.
Right. So, you good? Yeah, good? You're going to get the gross up to 70?
I have a question about postcards.
Okay.
Yeah. Where postcards not get when not in contact, not good with Ray, back in September.
What?
Ordered postcards.
Oh.
Have an issue. So tell me what I need to do or whatever. You know? They're paid for, never got any blanks on them, blah, 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 blah. You contacted us twice.
Contact me on Tuesday.
Okay.
And we'll do a 3-way and I'll yell at him. You know, he's a quandary. We're in the process of lining up a different company to handle that. When he's good, he's great, and when he's bad, he's horrible. Right? And Greg Fitzgerald, the guy who was set up to do the print on the band stuff, and we have, it'll be 9 out of 10 of the times that people use him, it'll be great, and he beats everybody's prices, and he's on top of it. And 1 out of 10 times, including once for me, he's a disaster. And there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason.
His prices are absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah. Really, yeah, which may be the problem. I mean, maybe if we could just get him to raise the prices, he could, you know. But yeah, his prices are unbeatable, but again, when he's good, he's great, and when he's bad, he's a disaster. And there doesn't seem to be any in between.
Is he the one that misspelled your name on a great big banner?
Yeah, that wasn't his fault. That was Toby's fault. I mean, he did misspell the banner, but all he did was print the artwork we sent him. So either Merrick or Toby didn't know how to spell my name. Okay, so we're done for the day, and we'll follow up on Wednesday. Thanks, guys. Thank you.